We're into day six of the Trump era, and we're finding it hard to keep up. Earlier this week, the Trump administration told workers at federal agencies to stop communicating with the public, tweeting, blogging, issuing press releases. At the Environmental Protection Agency, there's a temporary hold on releasing scientific data to the public. And for researchers across the globe who rely on the scientific data those federal agencies collect, this is a very real concern. The World's Carolyn Beeler has our story.
Michelle Murphy doesn't live in the United States. She's a professor in Canada. But her research depends on water quality data collected by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
My work right now is on chemical emissions in the Great Lakes.
And signals from the Trump transition team have gotten Murphy concerned that EPA data on the lakes might disappear.
Without EPA data, you are blinded. We're worried that the incoming administration is going to remove data sets that are available now. And once they're offline, we don't know what's going to happen to them.
This hasn't been happening yet, but the signs from the new administration suggest Murphy's fears may come true. And they're fears that come from experience.
Some Canadian scientists are calling it a war on knowledge. Over the past few years,
under Canada's last prime minister, scientists and journalists grew frustrated by how hard it was to access publicly funded research.
We had libraries and archives being destroyed. We had scientists fired and muzzled in order to get data from scientists. You know, we would do Freedom of Information requests, and the majority came back redacted if you got them at all. It was a brutal time.
Murphy and others in Canada and the U.S. think America might be heading down a similar path under President Trump. So in early December, Murphy helped start an effort to download data sets and documents from the EPA and other government agencies dealing in environmental and climate data. Murphy organized an archiving hackathon at the University of Toronto, where she teaches, and the work didn't stop there.
The coding community has been downloading and scraping data sets every day. And I get emails at 1 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and I'm sorry to say I'm often up to read them.
Murphy's initiative is among a handful of new archiving groups.
Do we have quorum? I mean,
just about every day she's on video calls with academics around North America.
We have a really tight schedule, so
boxes on Murphy's screen make it look like the opening credits of the Brady Bunch. But instead of the six Brady kids, they're filled with the faces of her and her colleagues. One of them is Bethany Wiggin from the University of Pennsylvania. She ran a hackathon in Philadelphia.
We started really building a coordinated network of data rescue events. Philadelphia was the second data rescue event. Subsequently, there have been three more this past week, and there are others coming on.
The organizers on this call are mostly in the U.S., but the volunteers downloading data are spread all over.
I'm not a scientist involved with climate or anything.
Jonathan Schmid is, in fact, a student of Arabic studies at the University of Leipzig in Germany. He's downloaded about a gigabyte of satellite images from the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA.
I'm not interested in the data myself. For me, it's just, you know, lending my basement out to someone who doesn't have the space or feels like their basement might not be safe.
Another terabyte of U.S. data on temperature and greenhouse gases lives on a computer in a small windowless room in an apartment in Crete.
Hello, I am Antonios Hariton.
Hariton isn't a scientist either, but he's eager to lend a hand, or a server in this case, to help them.
It will help them in a way that will also help us. So if scientists can work on better ways to slow down global warming, I think it can benefit us.
Raw data gathered by American agencies is not used just in the U.S. or Canada, but around the world. For instance, Anders Levermann from Germany's Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research says NOAA data forms the baseline for every single model he knows of for ocean warming.
Climate models are used everywhere, Japan, China, Germany, the UK, but they all use the NOAA data to start. That's just one example.
If the first few days of the Trump administration are an indication of what's to come, researchers around the world have reason to fear a clampdown on U.S. scientific data. This week, the Trump administration put a temporary hold on EPA scientists releasing data to the public. That's enough to get Michelle Murphy in Toronto spooked.
There was moments when people would say to us, "You're being paranoid." Why are you worrying? And I'm sad to say that it looks like we will have been very wise to have taken the actions we did.
For The World, I'm Carolyn Beeler.